The runner ran, the king of all boards, and Stephen's day was caught in the fords. Although he was little, his honor was great, and both my lads and give us a trade. We followed the run 3 miles or more, 3 miles or more, 3 miles or more. Followed the run 3 miles or more, at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Lisa O'Neill with The Wren. It's a cracking accent.
It's brilliant, isn't it? What a great voice.
I love that. I love the likes of that and Damien Dempsey, who don't make any bones about where they're from, and they just sing with that affected accents at all.
That's a beautiful Cavan twang there. Rough Trade Records,
and
Lisa O'Neill.
And that is the Dublin brogue of Donald Fallon, who's with us as ever this time of week. Donald, thanks for popping in. We're talking about The Wren, because next week we'll have the Day of the Wren, which of course is Stephen's Day, and people wear straw costumes and they parade through towns and villages, particularly Dingle. And we'll talk about Dingle in a few minutes' time, because you have some particular notes around what goes on in Dingle. It's a tradition with fairly long roots stretching back, but we'll talk about exactly what hunting the Wren, or the in certain parts of the country, actually means and what the tradition is. But this is something that really you have to see with your own eyes, isn't
it? Yeah, it does. And, you know, for me, from suburban Dublin, the sprawl of West Dublin, to go down in 2016, I spent Stephen's Day in Dangan or Dingle. And it was just an incredible thing to see. I mean, on Stephen's Day in Dublin, people are standing outside Brown Thomas trying to get a pair of runners at half price or something like that. Yeah. A friend of mine, the historian,
you'd miss the Cleary sale on Stephen's Day, wouldn't you? Yeah, people lining up for a smeg fridge for 50 cents.
Do it on the 27th, yeah. You know, give people a day off work. But my friend Páraig O'Rourke, a historian, has a real sense of tradition. You know, he said to me, you have to come down and you have to see this thing. And for people who've never witnessed the Wren, it can be a kind of peculiar looking spectacle at first. Mm. It's almost pagan.
It is.
You know, you have kind of obscured, curiously dressed figures making their way in kind of musical procession through Irish villages and towns. But as we'll learn today, I mean, this is a great story. It's something that is far from dead. It has great historic pedigree, and not to mention curious connections even to our revolutionary history.
Even the premise of hunting the Wren, or the Wren in some places, I mean, they are talking about the bird, the Wrens. Is there a kind of an inherent cruelty to the idea of hunting the Wren?
The tradition, there's great paintings and images, the brilliant Jack B. Yeats and images of young Wren boys in early 20th century Ireland. In fact, the cover for that Lisa O'Neill single we heard at the start is an early 20th century image of Wren boys. And on paper, it sounds like a very cruel sport. You know, a tiny bird is captured, killed, tied to a pole before being paraded through a village. The Wren, as Lisa told us, is considered the king of all birds. And some people felt it could bring you good luck if you captured it alive. But there's also a very deep mythology in Ireland around the Wren bird being dangerous. Mm. And, you know, legend has it that this bird betrayed St. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, hence the day on which we go hunting the Wren. But the tradition was to capture the bird, pole it, and parade the captured trophy. Now, in more recent times, it's been sanitised, as everything has.
Sure.
And it's not a living bird anymore, listeners will be glad to hear. But, you know, when you arrived at a house with the Wren, the Wren boys would perform music, and, you know, a household, you were expected to welcome them in whatever way you could.
I love that it's one of the more classic Irish things, and not only is there the old bit of foraging and hunter gathering, but then there's also the bit of imposed hospitality that you just show up and there's nothing they can do about it. They just
imposed hospitality.
Yeah, that's
brilliant.
It's one of the great Irish Christmas traditions, and of course the song that we played in all kind of summarises exactly what goes on some of the lyrics.
It's a brilliant ancient song. The Wren, the king of all birds, St. Stephen's Day was caught in the fur. Although he was little, his honour was great. Jump up, me lads, and give him a treat. Up with the kettle, down with the pan, and give us a penny to bury the Wren. So up with the kettle, and down with the pan. Essentially, you know, give us whatever hospitality you can.
Yeah.
And if a household shunned the Wren boys, God help them. I mean, the superstitious fear was that if you didn't give them anything, they'd bury the Wren near your home, and that was said to bring bad luck.
Okay, right. You talked about the work of Jack B. Yeats, but there's also another famous person, John B. Keane, who wrote at length around all of this.
What a brilliant writer John B. Keane was, and Bowron Makers, a great novel. He talks about the hostility of some people in authority, you know, towards these Wren boys, and people who regarded it kind of more as an excuse for a good knees up and a good party than a noble tradition. And he has this great priest character in that book who says, will they hand it over to charity? Will they give part of it to charity? Will they give a solitary halfpenny to charity? They will not. They will spend every last copper on drink, and they will stay up all night drinking and part of the following day drinking until they are satisfied. And what do they call these drunken orgies? They call them dances. Dances indeed. They would have us honour a Wren before a saint. So John
Just
B. captured
the fence, John. Tell us what you really think.
Tell us how you really feel. But the tension in rural Ireland, you know, where some people regarded this as little more than an excuse to go out in the lash. And it's also there in poetry. And as we said, I mean, Jack B. Yeats, the greatest Irish painter of his or any other generation, he captured it as well.
Yeah, often overlooked as the first Olympic medalist of the Free State, Jack B. Yeats.
Yes.
Of course, I think we've talked about that on this slot before. As with many things, and you mentioned it there in your opening comments, there is a natural inherent link, as there is there's an everything in Irish history.
There is.
To times of revolution and strife. I mean, and there is a Renboy link. Explain this.
Yeah, listeners get used to hearing about the Irish Revolution because we're heading into 2020. This is the biggest centenary year we've had in many ways since 2016. And during the Irish Revolution, this kind of Renboy tradition terrifies British forces because they're regarded as kind of sinister. Think about it, you're a young soldier from Nottingham or Leicester, and you see these kids walking around in straw hats on St. Stephen's Day. And the belief was that it gave kind of potential cover to revolutionary violence. And definitely on some occasions it does. I mean, Stephen's Day in 1920 in Roscarbery, these Wren boys arrive in the town and proceed to kind of attack the houses of prominent loyalists.
Okay, right.
Then there's this really amazing spectacle in Dunmanway where the Wren boys, who normally parade with the dead Wren on a stick, are instead carrying captured British ceremonial uniforms and weapons.
Oh.
So, you know, when all kinds of public processions are generally discouraged during a revolution, there was something very powerful in this rural Irish tradition of Wren boys becoming a kind of like a secret society.
Yeah.
And in rural Ireland,
it's great opportunism, actually, isn't it? The idea of, like, if you've got a costume and an excuse to go to someone's gaff. I mean, nowadays you can just do it Halloween trick or treating. You can show up at someone's house.
Absolutely. And rural Ireland has its own traditions. I mean, there's a long tradition of kind of agrarian secret society. Protest, disorder. I mean, people would have been attacking landlords and bailiffs dressed in costumes. So, you know, like the white boys, as they were known, going back. So there was a lot of this in rural Irish society. And during the revolution, I think the Wren boy costumes are sometimes used, you know, as an opportunity to strike.
Obviously, there's a little bit more concern around animal rights and the likes of that. And some of what people would have gotten up to in historical times of Wren boys is now seen as a bit distasteful. But, like, what else has changed? It's kind of got into decline a bit.
John B. Keane's fictional priest had something of a point. I mean, the money did go on people going on the lash. That's definitely changed. I mean, now the tradition is generally done for charity. Mm. You have Wren girls as well as Wren boys, you know, so as everything is. And the Wren itself is now usually fake. So no need for the animal kind of welfare people to get involved. Mm. But the remarkable colourful costumes, the straw hats in particular, all of that remains. And there were kind of other long-standing traditions like it, like the Breedog, the Biddy Boys, who would celebrate the eve of the Feast of St. Bridget. Generally, that was in Kildare on the 1st of February. They had their own costumes. There was real pageantry to that as well.
Okay.
But for whatever reason, the Wren Boys seem to be the primary one that has survived.
So you mentioned Dingle and somewhere that you'd witnessed it yourself a couple of Christmases ago. To explain to us exactly how the tradition is, not only in Dingle, of course, but there's still a bit of a knock around in Dublin too.
Well, up in the metropolis, you can see it out in Sandymount. They do it there. They go door to door and they do it for charity at Sandymount. Dingle is something else
entirely. And they do it for charity. They're not doing it for the sake of their Stephen's Day back balance.
The good people of Sandymount aren't going on the lash. Yeah. But in Dingle, it's just amazing. I mean, there's a even lighthearted competition in it down there. You get different groups of Wren boys parading through the town. So the green and gold, for example. And it's amazing when you see a group like that marching behind their banner through the town, especially when you've never seen anything like this before, as I hadn't. Shraud Owen Wren as well. And one of the members of the Shraud Owen Wren described it brilliantly to the Examiner. He said, if you're from Dingle, you have to do it. It's like asking, does a salmon like going up a river? It just has to happen. It's in our nature and has to be.
What I love most about that is how you were talking about how this had a time of revolution and everything about revolution was schism and division and civil war and all these kind of internal battles. And now, yet still, in 2019, the modern 21st century sanitised version of the Wren, there's still a little bit of a civil war going on.
Yeah.
It's like, which one of the Dingle Wren
isn't that amazing? I mean, like, there's four or five Wrens. One called the Pagan Rave, actually, which is kind of the dissident Wren. But they all make their way through the streets. And Aoife Granville, who's from that part of the country, did her PhD on the Wren. She says it's not that the Wren's Day tradition hasn't survived elsewhere. It's more that it has survived in a particular way in Dingle. And yet we're a tiny little island. I mean, the island of Ireland, north, south, east and west, has a population less than the greater London area. Mm. But we can forget kind of how localised some traditions are and how different and diverse we are as a people. So if you can get to Dingle on St. Stephen's Day, you know, forget queuing up for a pair of Gucci runners. Get down to Dingle and see something incredible.
In case there is anywhere in Dingle that does sell Gucci runners, we don't want you to feel marginalised. Of course, it is an option available for people to spend their Stephen's Day. How will you be spending your Christmas Day in Stephen's Day?
Relaxing. I think it's a great time for family. I love to go home and, you know, generally by about the 28th, it's time to escape. But,
yeah.
For a couple of days to do nothing is nice.
It's one of the most brilliant things about Christmas, and not only how everyone looks forward to completely breaking the routine and sitting at home, but then by the time you get to the 27th, the 28th, everyone is just craving a bit of normality. You know what I'd like? An actual defined weekend to go at it.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you will enjoy Leopardstown or Kempton or whatever
else
you're watching.
I will indeed be there.
Donal, as ever, thank you for that and for all of your contributions throughout the year and for keeping us stimulated and entertained and fascinated in equal measure. Thank you very much for coming in, and a happy Christmas to you and yours, and we'll see you again
so
next week and indeed early in the new year as well. Donald Fallon is a historian. He is the creator of the Khmer TB blog and books, volumes 1 and 2 of which are available in all good bookshops now. And he's also the presenter of the Three Castles Burning podcast, which you'll find anywhere you get your decent podcasts.